Exalt, let them exalt the hosts of heaven. Exalt, let angel ministers of God exalt. Let the trumpet of salvation sound aloud our mighty King's triumph. Be glad, let earth be glad, as glory floods her, ablaze with light from her eternal King. Let all corners of the earth be glad, knowing an end to gloom and darkness. Rejoice, let Mother Church also rejoice, arrayed with the lightning of His glory. Let this holy building shake with joy, filled with the mighty voices of the peoples. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. Lift up your hearts. We'll lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just. It is truly right and just, with ardent love of mind and heart, and with devoted service of our voice, to acclaim our God invisible, the Almighty Father, and Jesus Christ our Lord, His Son, His only begotten, who for our sake paid Adam's debt to the eternal Father, and pouring out His own dear blood, wiped clean the record of our ancient sinfulness. These then are the feasts of Passover, in which is slain the Lamb, the one true Lamb, whose blood anoints the doorposts of believers. This is the night when once you led our forebears, Israel's children, from slavery in Egypt, and made them pass dry shod through the Red Sea. This is the night that with a pillar of fire banished the darkness of sin. This is the night that even now throughout the world sets Christian believers apart from worldly vices and from the gloom of sin, leading them to grace and joining them to His holy ones. This is the night when Christ broke the prison bars of death and rose victorious from the underworld. Oh, wonder of your humble care for us, O love, O charity beyond all telling, To ransom a slave, you gave away your son. Oh, truly necessary sin of Adam, destroyed completely by the death of Christ. Oh, happy fault that earned so great, so glorious a Redeemer. The sanctifying power of this night dispels wickedness, washes faults away, restores innocence to the fallen and joy to mourners. Oh, truly blessed night, when things of heaven are wed to those of earth and divine to the human. On this, your night of grace, O Holy Father, accept this candle, a solemn offering, the work of bees and of your servant's hands, an evening sacrifice of praise, this gift from your most holy church. Therefore, O Lord, we pray you that this candle, hallowed to the honor of your name, may persevere undimmed to overcome the darkness of this night. Receive it as a pleasing fragrance, and let it mingle with the lights of heaven. May this flame be found still burning by the morning star, the one morning star who never sets, Christ your Son, who coming back from death's domain has shed his peaceful light on humanity and lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was a formless void. There was darkness over the deep, and God's Spirit hovered over the water. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that light was good, and God divided light from darkness. God called light day, and darkness he called night. Evening came and morning came, the first day. God said, "Let there be a vault in the waters to divide the waters in two." And so it was. God made the vault, and it divided the waters above the vault from the waters under the vault. God called the vault heaven. Evening came and morning came, the second day. God said, "Let the waters under heaven come together into a single mass, and let dry land appear." And so it was. God called the dry land earth, and the mass of waters seas, and God saw that it was good. God said, "Let the earth produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and fruit trees bearing fruit with their seed inside on the earth." And so it was. The earth produced vegetation, plants bearing seed in their several kinds, and trees bearing fruit with their seed inside in their several kinds. God saw that it was good. Evening came and morning came, the third day. God said, let there be lights in the vault of heaven to divide day from night, and let them indicate festivals, days and years. Let them be lights in the vault of heaven to shine on the earth. And so it was. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, the smaller light to govern the night, and the stars. God set them in the vault of heaven to shine on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to divide the light from darkness. God saw that it was good. Evening came and morning came, the fourth day. God said, let the waters teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth within the vault of heaven. And so it was. God created great sea serpents and every kind of living creature with which the waters teem, and every kind of winged creature. God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters of the seas, and let the birds multiply upon the earth. Evening came and morning came, the fifth day. God said, let the earth produce every kind of living creature, cattle, reptiles, and every kind of wild beast. And so it was. God made every kind of wild beast, every kind of cattle, and every kind of land reptile. God saw that it was good. God said, let us make man in our own image, in the likeness of ourselves, and let them be masters of the fish of the sea, the birds of heaven, the cattle, all the wild beasts, and all the reptiles that crawl upon the earth. God created man in the image of himself. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, saying to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and conquer it. Be masters of the fish of the sea, the birds of heaven, and all living animals on the earth. God said, see, I give you all the seed-bearing plants that are upon the whole earth, and all the trees with seed-bearing fruit. This shall be your food. To all wild beasts, all birds of heaven, and all the living reptiles on the earth, I give all the foliage of plants for food. And so it was. God saw all he had made, and indeed it was very good. Evening came and morning came, the sixth day. Thus heaven and earth were completed with all their array. On the seventh day, God completed the work he had been doing. He rested on the seventh day after all the work he had been doing. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Second reading is from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me so? Tell the sons of Israel to march on. For yourself, raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and part it for the sons of Israel to walk through the sea on dry ground. I, for my part, will make the heart of the Egyptians so stubborn that they will follow them. So shall I win myself glory at the expense of Pharaoh, of all his army, his chariots, his horsemen. And when I have won glory for myself at the expense of Pharaoh and his chariots and his army, the Egyptians will learn that I am the Lord." Then the angel of the Lord, who marched at the front of the army of Israel, changed station and moved to their rear. The pillar of cloud changed station from the front to the rear of them and remained there. It came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. The cloud was dark, and night passed without the armies drawing any closer the whole night long. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove back the sea with a strong easterly wind all night. He made dry land of the sea. The waters parted, and the sons of Israel went on dry ground right into the sea, walls of water to the right and to the left. The Egyptians gave chase. After them they went, right into the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. In the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians from the pillar of fire and of cloud and threw the army into confusion. He so clogged their chariot wheels that they could scarcely make headway. "Let us flee from the Israelites," the Egyptians cried to them. "The Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." "Stretch out your hand over the sea," the Lord said to Moses, "that the waters may flow back on the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and as day broke, the sea returned to its bed. The fleeing Egyptians marched right into it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the very middle of the sea. The returning waters overwhelmed the chariots and the horsemen of Pharaoh's whole army, which had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not a single one of them was left. But the sons of Israel had marched through the sea on dry ground, walls of water to right and to the left of them. That day the Lord rescued Israel from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. Israel witnessed the great power, the great act that the Lord had performed against the Egyptians. And the people venerated the Lord. They put their faith in the Lord and in Moses his servant. It was then that Moses and the sons of Israel sang this song in honor of the Lord.
Amen. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, O come to the water, all you who are thirsty. Though you have no money, come. Buy corn without money and eat, and at no cost wine and milk. Why spend money on what is not bread, your wages on what fails to satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and you will have good things to eat and rich food to enjoy. Pay attention, come to me, listen, and your soul will live. With you I will make an everlasting covenant out of the favours promised to David. See, I have made you a witness to the peoples, a leader and master of the nations. See, you will summon a nation you never knew. Those unknown will come hurrying to you for the sake of the Lord our God, of the Holy One of Israel, who will glorify you. Seek the Lord while he is still to be found. Call to him while he is still near. Let the wicked man abandon his way, the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn back to the Lord, who will take pity on him, to our God, who is rich in forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways not your ways. It is the Lord who speaks. Yes, the heavens are as high above the earth as my ways are above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. O God, whose ancient wonders remain undimmed in splendor even our day, for what you once bestowed on a single people, freeing them from Pharaoh's persecution by the power of your right hand, Now you bring about as the salvation of the nations through the waters of rebirth. Grant, we pray, that the whole world may become children of Abraham and inherit the dignity of Israel's birthright through Christ our Lord.
Amen. A reading from the prophet Baruch. Listen, Israel, to commands that bring life. Hear and learn what knowledge means. Why, Israel, why are you in the country of your enemies? Growing older and older in an alien land, sharing defilement with the dead, reckoned with those who go to Sheol, because you have forsaken the fountain of wisdom. Had you walked in the way of God, you would have lived in peace forever. Learn where knowledge is, where strength, where understanding, and so learn where length of days is, where life, where the light of the eyes, and where peace. But who has found out where she lives? Who has entered her treasure house? But the one who knows all knows her. He has grasped her with his own intellect and has set the earth firm forever and filled it with four-footed beasts. He sends the light and it goes. He recalls it and trembling it obeys. The stars shine joyfully at their set times. When he calls them, they answer, "Here we are." They gladly shine for their Creator. It is He who is our God. No other can compare with Him. He has grasped the whole way of knowledge and confided it to His servant Jacob, to Israel, His well-beloved. So causing her to appear on earth and move among men. This is the book of the commandments of God, the law that stands forever. Those who keep her live, those who desert her die. Turn back, Jacob. Seize her in her radiance. Make your way to light. Do not yield your glory to another, your privilege to a people not your own. Israel, blessed are we. What pleases God has been revealed to us. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized in his death. In other words, when we were baptized, we went into the tomb with him and joined him in death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the Father's glory, we too might live a new life. If in union with Christ we have imitated his death, we shall also imitate him in his resurrection. We must realize our former selves have been crucified with him to destroy the sinful body and to free us from the slavery of sin. When a man dies, of course, he has finished with sin. But we believe that having died with Christ, we shall return to life with him. Christ, as we know, having been raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no power over him anymore. When he died once for all to sin. So his life now is life of God. And in that way, you too must consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive for God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After the Sabbath, and towards dawn on the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala and the other Mary went to visit the sepulchre, and descending from heaven and all at once there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. His face was like lightning, his robe white as snow. The guards were so shaken, so frightened of him, that they were like dead men. But the angel spoke and said to the women, "There is no need for you to be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said he would. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead. And now he is going before you to Galilee. It is there you will see him. Now I have told you." Filled with awe and great joy, the women came quickly away from the tomb and ran to tell the disciples. And there, coming to meet them, was Jesus. "Greetings," he said. And the women came up to him, and falling down before him, clasped his feet. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that they must leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." The Gospel of the Lord.
The Lord is truly risen. To him be glory and power for all ages of eternity. Alleluia. May I wish you all a happy Easter. There is an incident in the life of St. Margaret of Antioch. One day, she was brought before the governor on a charge of receiving faith. He asked her, "Can anyone worship mere a human as God? How foolish it is to worship a man who died on the cross as a criminal." To that, she replied, "Why do you want always to talk about Jesus' death on the cross and do not speak anything about his resurrection? He is risen, and his resurrection proves that he is God." Today, we are celebrating Easter, the greatest and the most important feast in the church. St. Augustine once said that it is not difficult to believe that our Lord died. Even the pagans and the Jews believe that. The great thing with our faith precisely is to believe that Jesus Christ has resurrected, and it is the basis of our Christian faith. It is St. Paul who speaks very strongly about the resurrection of Jesus. St. Paul writes in his first letter to Corinthians, chapter 15, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion, and you are still lost in your sins. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then the church is a fraud. Vain is our faith, vain is our hope, and all our struggles and efforts. We would not have been here for this celebration if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. We would die in our sins. Our sufferings would have no meaning. Those who fell asleep in Christ would be among the perished. With his resurrection, Jesus conquered darkness, sin, evil, and the devil. Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee of our own resurrection. So, Easter is a feast which gives us hope and encouragement. It is a feast of eternal hope. In this world of pain, sorrows, and tears, Easter reminds us that life is worth living. Today we proclaim that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us rejoice. We proclaim. But when we proclaim this, there might be people who may ask, "Will my poverty end, and will I have a good time because of Jesus' resurrection? Or will my family problems be solved? Will I be cured of my illness? Will my debt be paid off?" Many of you who have come to participate in this Easter vigil celebration may be going through the similar problems. The question is, will there be an end to the various other types of breakdowns in our life because Jesus is risen? If not, they don't want to hear about Easter and resurrection and the joy of resurrection. So there is no point in saying about Jesus' resurrection. So what answer can be given to such questions or such persons? It does not seem like we can be happy when all the problems are over. One can find divine peace and joy even in the middle of problems. And this is made possible only when you stand close to God and pray to God. The grace of the risen Jesus can touch our lives at any time. The resurrection of Jesus teaches us that we should have a spiritual conviction of everything that happens in our life. We know Jesus underwent tragic death, and on the third day he is risen. So from that, you may have many problems today, but it will be solved tomorrow. So a kind of a spiritual conviction we need to develop. Easter reminds us that every Good Friday in our lives will have an Easter Sunday, and that Jesus will let us share the power of his resurrection. Each time we display our love of others, we share in the resurrection. Each time we face a betrayal of trust, we share in the resurrection of Jesus. Each time we fail in our attempts to ward off temptation, but keep on trying to overcome them, we share in the resurrection. Each time we continue to hope, even when our hope seems unanswered, we share in the power of Jesus' resurrection. In short, the message of Easter is that nothing can destroy us. Not pain, sin, rejection, nor death, because Christ has conquered all these. And we too can conquer them if we put our faith in him. We are expected to live a joyful and peaceful life, constantly experiencing the real presence of risen Lord in all the events of our lives. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.